Imagine having a magical kitchen in your home that produces unlimited amounts of delicious food. Would you still scavenge for scraps or accept stale offerings from others? Yet this is precisely what we do in relationships when we don't recognize our internal source of nourishment. When we have abundant internal resources, a magical kitchen of unconditional love, we can nourish all parts of ourselves generously. Our inner children feel secure and satisfied, making us naturally selective about relationships. We recognize and decline unhealthy connections while remaining open to mutually nourishing ones. Conversely, when we're emotionally impoverished, our starving basement children, what Schwartz calls our exiled parts, become desperate for external nourishment. They'll make us accept poor quality relationships just to get crumbs of affection. We'll tolerate mistreatment, cling desperately to partners, or constantly seek validation because these exiled parts believe external love is their only chance for survival. What most of us never realize is that our true self is the magical kitchen, an unlimited source of love for all our parts. Yet we've been conditioned to believe this nourishment can only come from outside ourselves. Our culture reinforces this myth through romantic stories portraying finding the one as the solution to inner emptiness. We're all born with vulnerable parts, but most learn early that vulnerability isn't safe. Those with accepting caretakers don't develop many exiles. They learn to embrace their sensitivity. For most, however, the story unfolds differently. Consider Simon. Despite having a learning disorder and feeling inferior to his academic brother, his parents met his struggles with compassion. Their unconditional love taught Simon to comfort his hurt parts, preserving his wonder and playfulness. Had his parents criticized his babyish behavior instead, Simon would have exiled these vulnerable parts, becoming emotionally distant and possibly developing unhealthy coping mechanisms like workaholism or alcohol dependence. We exile our most precious aspects when 1. Our vulnerability bothered our caretakers. 2. Our natural vitality disturbed them. 3. Our vulnerable parts became extreme and triggered negative reactions. Our exiles are buried treasure that we mistake for toxic waste. What's toxic are the emotions and beliefs they carry, not the exiled parts themselves, which contain our vulnerability, sensitivity, and creativity, the essence of intimacy. Feeling unlovable drives us to seek redemption through partners who resemble our original caretakers, hoping they'll heal our childhood wounds. This creates an intoxicating attraction to potential redeemers. Tina's story illustrates this pattern. She pursued unavailable men like her dismissive father, seeking validation. Only by becoming her own loving caretaker could she develop healthier relationships. This redemption drive creates cycles. We choose partners resembling our caretakers, expecting healing. When they inevitably fail to heal our childhood wounds, we feel betrayed, while our partners remain confused by our intense reactions. These dynamics manifest in patterns like tarnished halo, idealization followed by disillusionment, preemptive dumping, and testing through provoking abandonment. Our childhood wounds create self-fulfilling prophecies. Defensive behaviors against abandonment often push partners away, while excessive dependency on redeemers typically erodes their respect. Modern American marriage is one of the most difficult marriage forms that the human race has ever attempted, according to anthropologist Margaret Mead. Unlike past couples supported by communities, today's couples are isolated units expected to survive alone, often separated by work and family demands. Without constant affirmation from partners, people experience feelings of worthlessness, a dark sea of pain we avoid. Partners become life preservers, making us fearful of abandonment. Our culture offers many substitutes through consumption and entertainment, creating cycles of addiction rather than lasting happiness. As Leonard Cohen notes, "You are locked into your suffering, and your pleasures are the seal." Americans have developed an empty self with chronic emotional hunger filled by possessions. Economic pressures and media-driven consumerism create emotional distance between loved ones. The irony of modern relationships is that we carry emotional baggage and hide vulnerability, yet expect to find someone who'll make us whole. When this fails, we blame ourselves. The belief in a single, unified personality often leads to relationship breakdown. Understanding that we contain multiple parts offers hope for couples. When love seems lost or negative thoughts arise about your partner, viewing these as temporary states from protective parts prevents hasty decisions. Similarly, seeing your partner's hurtful words as coming from wounded parts reduces pain. Speaking for parts, "a part of me hates you," rather than "from them, I hate you," transforms communication. Knowing protectors will relax and self will return provides comfort during conflicts. When clients separate from their extreme emotions, they access a calm self state. Faces soften, voices quiet, and they explore without defensiveness. In this self state, partners maintain respectful tones while discussing charged topics and listen openly. Solutions emerge naturally through self-to-self communication. Courageous love emerges when we trust our self-leadership enough to remain steady regardless of our partner's actions. This allows us to accept all parts of them without feeling threatened. As Emerson wrote, "The condition which high friendship demands is the ability to do without it. This wisdom extends to love, supporting your partner's journey even when it differs from yours." Courageous love means soothing our abandonment fears through self-care while prioritizing our partner's growth. It requires vulnerability despite potential pain, possible only when our wounded parts trust in our self-care capacity. In such relationships, we can speak truth despite negative reactions, accept difficult feedback, initiate repair during conflicts, and stay present without defenses. This openness flows from trusting our ability to handle pain. When we learn to comfort our wounded parts, conflicts become opportunities for healing. Partners who look inward during hurt transform disconnection into growth. What your partner provokes reveals what you need to heal. When they hurt you, examining the exiles behind your protective reactions provides a map to buried treasure, your attachment injuries seeking redemption. Healing these parts enriches your life regardless of your relationship's outcome. Most people resist this perspective, as protective managers focus on making the external world safer rather than facing internal pain. As Pema Chodron teaches, others trigger the karma we haven't worked out and mirror our unresolved issues. This approach transforms your outlook. Instead of expecting your partner to complete you, you learn to help your own parts feel safe. During conflicts, you see your partner's extreme behaviors as temporary parts attacks from hurting exiles. John Gottman's research shows repair speed after fights matters more than their frequency or intensity. When partners quickly return to self-leadership, allow exile expression, and offer sincere apologies, neither accumulates lasting wounds. Intimate relationships require courage to face what's ugly and scary in both yourself and your partner, to love fully without possessing, and to risk loss. When you become your own primary caretaker, you discover the magical kitchen was within you all along, allowing genuine connection from abundance rather than need.